The Touching the Trail Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Touching the Trail Podcast, our weekly ritual of peace, presence, and perseverance, with this week's guests, Luke and Dylan Reese. Before we jump into my conversation with Luke and Dylan, I just want to take care of a little business. Now, there are two ways that you can support this show. The first is you can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. And the second is that you can go to targetreleaserecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak. Now, these are functional, affordable, unique, and handmade handheld deep tissue massage tools. And both those links are in the show notes. Now, a few weeks ago, on episode 161, I had a man named Thomas Reese on the show. Now, you can go back and listen to that episode. I highly recommend it. It was a great conversation about running, life, family, creativity, endurance, obviously, pushing through challenge, learning from failure, learning from suffering, all of the usual topics that we cover on Touching the Trail. And his two sons, Luke and Dylan, have been deeply shaped by his running and his adventurous and outdoor focused mindset and lifestyle as a person, as Thomas, and as a family all together, him and his wife, and him and his two sons. Now, all of this has kind of combined to create two boys, two teenagers, Luke and Dylan, who are very passionate about the outdoors and about adventure and physical activity in the outdoors, especially running. And that relationship really spoke deeply to me because my dad, a few years ago, he got me into running, into ultra running. And so I'm always fascinated with talking with guests who have had a similar relationship with their fathers or their mothers or their parents. That relationship of those parental figures being the main force behind the reason this person is passionate about the outdoors. And Thomas suggested to me in an email after we had our conversation an interesting idea that I had not and would have not considered if he hadn't suggested it. It was completely something that was out of the blue for me, but it got me thinking, and it was a really fascinating idea, and so I went with it. He suggested that I get the other side of the story, that we talked a lot about his perspective on the father-son outdoor-related relationship. But why don't I talk to Dylan and Luke? Why don't I talk to his sons and get their perspective, their side of the story? And I thought that was a wonderful idea. So it took us a while to finally schedule a time that would work for all of us. And we were finally able to schedule one yesterday on Sunday to sit down and chat. And Thomas wasn't in the room. He wasn't, you know, like controlling what his kids say or anything like that. It was just a straight conversation between me and Luke and Dylan. And I will tell you, I had a wonderful time. They were really well-spoken, and they communicated their thoughts expertly. And we really delved into all of the usual topics that I delve into on Touching the Trail: mindset and creativity and spirituality and the relationship that running or just pushing yourself, pushing your boundaries, entering that zone of discomfort on a daily basis, what that brings to a person. We covered all of that, but from the perspectives of some teenagers, of two teenagers, a 13-year-old Luke and a 15-year-old Dylan. Now, it is actually really apropos that we had this conversation, for me at least, yesterday, because this past weekend was my last big training weekend, big push running-wise as a teenager. Next Friday, or this coming Friday, March 1st, I'm going to be turning 20. And that, I'm not too sentimental about pretty much anything in life. And so I'm not, you know, shocked or super emotionally overwhelmed by this, you know, the big 2-0. But I know it's an important date and an important milestone in somebody's life, two decades, and I understand that, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the next step and the next transition period, the next decade, if you will, of my life, of the years that I've lived since my birth. But what really did struck me more so than the date is the fact that this past training weekend, this past running weekend, this past weekend was the last time that I will be running as a teenager, running, you know, big. I'll still run this week, obviously, but running big miles as a teenager. And I've spent the last year and a half, since June of 2017, since I ran the Bryce Canyon 100, kind of wondering, you know, what happened to my training ability, because I kind of lost it after the Bryce Canyon 100, and not because of the race. It didn't, like, you know, wreck me or anything like that physically per se. It was more of a mental thing that I think because of the emotional challenge that going to college and leaving my family was, and the endurance that I had to put into that, and to, you know, becoming a college student, becoming an independent person. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, then you know, I've talked a lot about the challenges that I've had in that arena. Running suffered because of that. My running ability took a back seat. And that also, I think, played a deep role in how difficult the first year of college was for me, and even leading into this year, and that I didn't feel like I was a runner anymore in a lot of senses. And on many runs, I felt that I didn't have it anymore, or whatever it was. But this past weekend was really a big milestone for me. Maybe a comeback, if you will. Who knows? We'll see. But it marked a really noticeable change in my running ability and focus, and overall just relationship with running as a sport, as a daily activity. On Saturday, I did a big training run on Bishop Peak here in San Luis Obispo, added in some miles on a lower loop that I haven't usually done before, and made up a kind of a big route on the mountain, and did that route three times, so three laps up and down the mountain. And it ended up being a 19-mile run with 4,500 feet of gain. And then on Sunday, the day after a back-to-back training weekend, I went out with a friend of mine here in SLO. He's also a friend of Thomas's, Luke and Dylan's dad, Jad Martinez, who was also on the show a while back in December. And he showed me a new area of the open land here in San Luis Obispo that I hadn't ever explored before. And we did 11 miles with 2,000 feet of gain. So it was a 30-mile training weekend with 6,500 feet of gain. And that is the biggest training weekend easily that I have done since training for the Bryce Canyon 100 a year and a half ago. And so having this conversation with Luke and Dylan really did hold a special place in my heart, because it was in light of my relationship with running as a teenager and how I felt that it was lost to me for so long, a year and a half after the race, after the Bryce Canyon 100, and that I finally feel this past weekend that maybe that spark of hope is reignited again. Maybe that relationship will be redefined again, and I will be able to enter that pain cave on a consistent basis with strength and with confidence. And so all of that combined to make a conversation that really allowed me to focus on what Dylan and Luke were saying in a way that I don't think I would have been able to, in the sense of connecting with them on that level, if I hadn't had these experiences this weekend of a big training weekend that really marked a turning point for me personally. And Dylan and Luke have many experiences, even at their young ages, with big adventures in the outdoors, big weekends, big weeks in the outdoors. Thomas and Luke have adventured all over the world. Luke, who's the younger son of Thomas, has trekked to Everest Base Camp with Thomas. He's trekked to Mount Kilimanjaro, to Mount Baker, to Mount Elbrus in Russia, to Cotopaxi, the area around Cotopaxi in Ecuador. And Dylan, the older son, has adventured with Thomas a bunch all over the Sierras, the Sierra Nevadas here in California, and all over the Western United States. So all of those adventures have kind of combined to give Dylan and Luke a extremely unique and fascinating perspective on their lives as teenagers in, you know, American society, in San Luis Obispo in society, if you will, and just their lives as people living in the world. Dylan Reese, the older son, has been kind of focusing on other things of his life, away from some of the big adventures as he's entered high school. He's been focusing on making music, and he's been focusing on school and on his girlfriend and things like that. And so we explored the idea that, you know, despite the fact that he's been focusing on other things, that running and the outdoors and adventure will still always be there. And I think that's a really interesting concept to delve into, and that is something we did in today's episode. Luke and Dylan grew up in San Luis Obispo. They were born here. They both run for their schools, so that gives them accountability as well with their sports and with running. And throughout their entire lives, They have crewed and attended races, ultra races, for and with Thomas. So all of this combines to give these two kids, like I said, a unique perspective on the world, and it was one that I was excited to explore with them. So I truly hope that you enjoy my conversation with Luke and Dylan Reese. Thank you. To start, you know, obviously, I think a good place to start seeing is how my show, my podcast is built. I'm a runner, obviously, ultra runner, so it's built in running and endurance. I cycle. We talked about climbing right before we started, so that all plays a part, obviously. And then nutrition is a big passion of mine, like spirituality is as well. So I think based off of those focuses, we should probably start with your experience with running / with the outdoors, you know, seeing, you know, Luke, you can start, and then Dylan. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, how those aspects of your life kind of came about, you know, how running entered your life, if not running, then just your experience with the outdoors. Because I know, Dylan, your dad was telling me that, you know, you're focusing on high school and music and other things. So in whatever capacity they kind of manifest in your life, just kind of run through that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously running is a big part of my life and of Dylan's life. I mean, I've been running since I'm a little kid, since I'm like 4 or 5 years old, and we've always done it. And it's a big part of my life, and I really enjoy it. And same with the outdoors. I feel like I've always been a really outdoorsy person, and I feel like that's kind of, I really enjoy it, I guess, and it's really nice. Yeah, I mean, the trips we've gone on have been a really good bonding experience with my dad, like us together, and I really have enjoyed that, and it's really had some good moments.
Well, it seems like, at least from what your dad was telling me, that you grew up, I mean, you're Thomas Reese is your dad, you know, so, and, you know, somebody who's so passionate about the outdoors, it seems, and I'm sure your family is as well, it was kind of always there, and as a runner himself, it was kind of always there, so it's kind of like the logical...
Yeah,
evolution, or whatever, like next step. Yeah, right,
yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm looking for.
I've always enjoyed the outdoors, and like Luke said, we've been running for a long time. We used to go to this running club after school because obviously our elementary school didn't have a running team because none of the other kids really ran. So we would go there every day, and all the other kids there were older than us, obviously. And we tried to keep up with them, and we really enjoyed running, and that's what kind of got us into it. And then our dad would always take us on little hikes, like around here, Bishop's Peak, Madonna Mountain, that type of stuff, and we really enjoyed it. And then we started going on overnight trips in the tent whenever we would go up to Tahoe, and that kind of introduced us to hiking and running.
Yeah, and it's funny because the actual backpacking and stuff that we do a lot, I mean, our dad's first trip was with Dylan. Like, he never did it before we started doing it. It kind of got introduced to him at the same time.
We were as inexperienced as he was.
Yeah. Right. So instead of, like, your dad, like, passing it on to you or, like, teaching you how to do it, it was more of, like, a family, like, learning together.
I think helps us really do it because we could all, we learned things together and did everything kind of together. And figured stuff out as we went. So right. I think that was kind of cool.
And he was telling me, too, that you guys, like, since, like you said, born into it since you were kids, have been, like, you know, attending races or watching him race or crewing or whatever. So I'm sure that impacted you as well and kind of informed your whole, like, approach being in the outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, crewing in, like, a 100-mile race, even if you're just a little kid, it kind of gets you, like, almost motivated. If you wake up and you're like, oh, he's here, and now he's here. Oh, he's finishing. Stuff like that kind of really gets you excited. Like, whoa, what's going to happen when I grow up? What races am I going to be doing?
And how would you say that, you know, having this connection, whether that's in running or backpacking or whatever form it might take, you know, the outdoors, physicality in the outdoors in general, I guess you can say, has kind of informed your relationship and your connection to your dad and your family, you know, in general, to your to each other even, obviously.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you spend like a week out on a trail in a tent with no one else but that one person, you're gonna get a pretty strong connection to them, probably stronger than it was before. So I mean, I think it just diversity of just being out there with no one else, no society, nothing, and just that one person, and you kind of have to live with them for that certain amount of time, and you learn how to get along better, and you get to know them better as a person.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if it's a long trip, you can have some pretty big bonding moments or some really important moments together, especially doing these trips often. It really gives us, you, or in our case, me and my dad, a lot of time together to talk and do other things. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me at least, you know, I spent, you know, the majority of high school running with my dad and training with my dad, and just that day in, day out, kind of spending time together and big trips that we would do as well, whatever form it might take, you know, that kind of that connection over discomfort, over, you know, the fact that it's not the easiest thing in the world, obviously, you know, it seems to me like it kind of, you know, peels back those layers that might be surrounding a typical father-son relationship, and it kind of makes it more honest and more real and much more of like an even ground to connect on.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, we got into it at the same time as our dad, so there was a lot of like learning together, lots of experience that we gained together, pushing through things that we didn't really know, but we were very similar in that aspect, so I think that kind of helped us get into it.
Right.
Yeah, and what you're saying about like a typical father-son relationship, like most of the time us with our dad, we spend family time together, obviously, whatever, help make dinner, eat dinner together, watch a movie together after dinner or something, see him in the morning, but when you're out on the trail, you're spending 24 hours a day with them, so that's just way different than normal life.
Right. It's much more of a, you see all sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, your own commitment to running or backpacking or hiking or whatever it may be, like here in SLO, here at your home, you know, every day, you know, or for school running or whatever it may be, how is that kind of day in, day out of doing something physical and, you know, or climbing in whatever form it may come, how does that kind of inform and how's that kind of shaped your personality, if it has at all? You know, for example, for me at least, that awards, you know, dedication and commitment and routine always pop into mind of like every day, you know, waking up and doing something even if I don't want to, but pushing through, and in the end it's always something beneficial, and I always look at it as something positive in my day.
Definitely going from middle school to high school, the element of routine definitely went a lot higher because...
More important.
More important because in middle school, we had a track and a cross-country team, but we always met after school. It wasn't like a type thing where it was a class in your day, so you didn't have to go to the practices. So it was kind of harder to bring yourself to go every day, you know. One day you're tired, one day you have a lot of homework, so sometimes you just don't feel like going, but... In high school, when it's actually like a part of your day and you do it every day, it becomes more of a routine. And some days, obviously, you don't feel like it, but you still go out there and do it. And that brings you, it makes you like the sport more, even if it might not seem like it on that day.
You're being held accountable.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's, a third party or whatever the word is.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so it kind of, you know, forces kind of has a negative connotation, but it kind of makes you... Want to get out and do it.
I would say that I usually enjoy running and obviously climbing and everything we do, even in the hard parts. But then it's better in the big picture, kind of. That's how I think of it. How, oh, I want to reach my running goal. I want to climb this route. I want to get to the summit of this mountain. Things like that. And I feel like being an outdoorsy person stuff has also really, like, born my personality, because like the my friends and everything, they're generally outdoorsy and like similar to me, and yeah, we do fun things together.
Yeah, you know, growing up in LA and Los Angeles, and then now going to Cal Poly here in SLO, that's probably like what shocked me the most of coming here, and it's what I expected, it's what I wanted, but it's so weird that I could like walk on campus, close my eyes, spin around, point at some random person I don't know and say like, hey, you want to go climbing, backpacking, hiking, whatever, and they'd be like, yeah, let's go. But in LA, if I did that in my high school, they'd be like, what? Get away from me. Like, nobody was outdoorsy in my school, and so I can't imagine, you know, what growing up here would be like of in terms of that part of my life, you know, and I definitely wish I had more people in my life that were like that, that having that constant availability of, you know, Bishop or West Questor, like whatever it may be, just the access to nature that you have here must be.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we have a trail right behind our house.
Right, yeah, you definitely have it.
It's pretty fun. We can just go straight up.
Right. And so I'm curious, you know, because of the backpacking, of the climbing, you know, I didn't even know you climbed, you guys climbed, of the running and everything. Do you see any parallels or kind of similarities between these various disciplines that in a lot of senses are very different from each other, but other than the fact that they all take place outside, obviously, but do you see something that kind of like rings true across all outdoor activity?
Well, I mean, like we're talking about the achieving goals, kind of, it's similar in a way, trying to do certain things. But I also feel like the community surrounding a lot of these things is all like tightly knit and really nice, especially in like the climbing or ultra running type community. You can go up to anyone in the climbing gym and ask for help on a certain route or something, and they're willing to help. It's just a really good community.
I think something that definitely applies to climbing and running and hiking and basically every sport is persistence. Because if you're running and you're persistent at it, then you're obviously going to become better. Same with climbing, you're going to get stronger and be able to climb harder problems and things like that. But if you're not persistent with it and you kind of stop running, run a week, don't run a week, that type of thing, then you're not going to get as good as fast or maybe be good at all because you're just not being persistent about it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, I think. I definitely agree with that. Do you guys, you know, whether it's, you know, on a cross-country run that you're, you know, out there with your team or on a climb or whatever, or on a backpacking trip in some mountain, you know, whatever it may be, this idea that I, you know, we talked about a little earlier of that idea of discomfort, that it hurts, that it's not the easiest thing in the world. How do you think that, like, enduring through and learning how to endure through discomfort and pain and whatever you want to call it has kind of shaped you in like your everyday life of learning how to, you know, endure through challenge and push through things that aren't the easiest?
Well, I mean, sometimes there's some things that a lot of people complain about in normal life that I wouldn't complain about anymore for, like, I don't know, doing simple chores or something like that. You could be out on the trail having to hike up a really hard mountain. All you have to do is take out the trash. It's a pretty big difference. So you kind of learn to perceive some things as easy that normal people would usually not like to do.
Right.
I don't really know what I'm saying there.
No, I see what you mean. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. I mean, yeah, if you're out on a mountain or an elevation or something, it's obviously can be pretty challenging. And if you think about that aspect of it, it really can shape you up because you're like, well, I'm just going for a little jog. That's not that bad. Like, I'm just doing tempo. That's not that bad. It could be a lot harder. I could be doing a workout.
Right. So I'm curious, you know, somebody, a family who travels to Germany on a regular basis, and then especially a family that, you know, a dad that takes their son to Nepal and, you know, to go to Everest Base Camp or to various countries, to go to Russia or whatever it may be, how this international travel and being immersed in cultures that in a lot of senses are very different from yours have impacted you and have taught you about your life, you know, here back in San Luis Obispo, your everyday life, and how that kind of dynamic has shaped you, if it has in any way.
Well, I mean, it's from the start, going to Nepal, that was kind of the first international trip I did. It's just been an eye-opener at looking at the different countries, seeing how they're living. It's just crazy coming back here, being like, wow, we actually have lots of working things that a lot of other people that aren't as fortunate don't have.
Any thoughts from Germany?
I haven't really been on as many international hiking trips as Luke and my dad have. But, for example, we went for a trip with my dad's friend in the Alps a couple years back, and it's just crazy seeing how different a lot of the mountains are. Like, the Alps are so much different than the Sierras. There's, like, a lot, like, all the mountains are really sharp on the top, and there's all the crosses on the top, and a lot of parts don't even have trail, they just have little markers that you have to follow, and it's just cool seeing how different all of the trails are there, and the mountains.
Yeah, I mean, right. The mountains in the Alps look like they're at, like, 20,000 feet, and really, they're at, like, 8,000 feet, 9,000 feet, and it's just, it's crazy how different the mountains are, how much things like that can vary over place to place.
Right, yeah, you guys are telling me new things. I've never been internationally in any sense of the, well, I've been to, like, you know, Tijuana, but that doesn't count in my mind. You know, so it's definitely, like, always, especially people, you two, you know, so having this, done this from such a young age, it's an interesting dynamic, I'm sure, in my mind at least, to return to a life here that in a lot of senses is very different from seeing something, you know, in Nepal or in Russia or whatever, or in Ecuador or wherever it may mm-hmm. be, that it's, I'm sure it's kind of like a other side of the coin type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really different. Even just going to, like, Germany.
Right, yeah, that's what I was thinking,
which
too.
Which is a similar mm-hmm. country to the U.S. There's just small differences. You see the houses, like, everything, I guess.
More beer.
More beer. It's just, I don't know, I like the different cultural experiences, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy that. And coming back to the U.S., to California, you realize it even more, like, how different it was in wherever you were, coming back to your regular life, like, wow, that's crazy how that just was, even just something like Germany that's really similar to the U.S.
Right. So, Luke, your dad was telling me about your experience, both of your experience on Mount Elbrus in Russia, and one of the biggest, like, lines of questioning that I like to pursue with the guests that I have on my show is mindset related things, especially about failure in whatever way that word might mean to you. So I'm curious how, you know, talk a little bit about what happened on Mount Elbrus, about this having to turn around, and how that kind of has reshaped and affected your thoughts on the outdoors, on goals you have, on what you want to accomplish, and how that, you know, not accomplishing what you set out to do that day has kind of shaped mm-hmm. you going forward.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, what happened was we're on Mount Elbrus in Russia, the tallest mountain in Europe, one of the seven summits, and we had big high-altitude boots. It's at, like, 18,500 feet, I believe, and it's a hard climb, and it was on the summit day, like, 2 in the morning at, like, 17,000 feet is where we were, and my shin was really in pain because of the big high-altitude boots. They're like snowboard boots, pretty much. And so we had to turn around. And it was really upsetting for me then. And I think it affected me in the short term a lot because I mean, obviously I was set down by that. And I was like, wow. Because it was one of the first times I really was like, struck with failure on a mountain trip, but I think it kind of almost shaped me up in a good way overall, because in the long term it didn't negatively affect me. I really realized, like, well, failure, it's always an option, and it's something you have to be prepared to accept if it does come your way. But in the long term it didn't negatively affect me.
I also think, at least in my experience, that it's an incredible teacher of mm-hmm. teaching you how to face challenges and failures in everyday life, you know, whether that's yeah. at school or in family or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's a big place where failure can happen. I mean, we're at, like, 17,000 feet
right.
in Russia, and that just, I guess, helps be an even more important, I guess, teacher, like you said, like, morally and everything.
Right. And then your dad was also telling me about how in Ecuador and in where did you guys go? Cotopaxi, right, is that?
Yeah, near there.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah, and how your experience there, and he was telling me about how great of a trip you had there. It kind of refocused you on various mountain adventures that you want to take and various goals that you have, and kind of was the opposite, kind of, I guess you can say, of your experience in Mount Elbrus, of, you know, falling in love with the mountains again in some senses. Mm-hmm. Is that ring true? Was that what he was telling me, right? Or
yeah, definitely. I mean, seeing the mountains there, it's made me want to, it's really, like, gotten me into it. I'm like, I want to do that. That's something really cool. Like, the Cotopaxi, Cayambe, Chimborazo Mountains. I mean, they're beautiful, and that's something I would like to do.
Awesome. So, Dylan, now kind of directing the line of questioning at you, you know, your dad was telling me, obviously your dad is where I got most of my information here. he was telling me, you know, that as you moved into high school, you focused on, you know, school and running in terms of, like, for a team, and then you've also focused on just other endeavors like your music and various things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, you know, how you think as you've been focusing on other aspects of life, as you should, you know, as you move into high school and as you're in high school, but how this idea that, you know, the outdoors and that this, the sport in the outdoors, sports, whatever they may come in the outdoors, you know, like Luke was saying, you were born into it. How do you think that even though, you know, at some points it may not be as much of a focus, some points it may be very much of a focus, but how it's always been in your life, how do you think that kind of constant will shape you going forward? And I mean, do you think you're going to fall back on it at some point, like in terms of like use it, you know, when you're in stressful situations in college or in later in life? I mean, do you think it will always be there in some form, or, you know, just talk to me about that a little.
Yeah,
wrong in thinking that, or
no? I think I'm definitely gonna stick with it and obviously run throughout high school, and then probably not run for a dedicated team during college. But I mean, obviously we all know that if you're feeling sad or mad or angry or whatever, going for a run always helps. You always feel better after a run, kind of makes you forget about your problems. And I feel like that's a good thing just for anyone to do. Just go for a little jog if you're feeling agitated or anything like that. And it's a good stress reliever. And I haven't been going on as many, obviously, big hiking trips recently, like my brother and my dad have, but I think I definitely will be getting back to doing more of those trips, especially when I have less school going on. Obviously, after college, I'm probably going to do a lot of trips, and I hope to one day hopefully hike the PCT with my dad. That'll probably come after college, though, when I have a lot more time off of school and nothing really going on.
Right, and when he's not as focused on racing, when he's a little older, because mm-hmm. he talks about a lot. And he was telling me that you're interested in doing the High Sierra route or the JMT, and mm-hmm. those are kind of more immediate or sooner, I don't know what the word would be, focused goals that you would like to accomplish in high school. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely in the next couple years I would like to hike the JMT or something around that, but definitely go on the JMT trip with my dad.
Mm-hmm. And at least for me, you know, running or just, you know, climbing, cycling, whatever, maybe doing something outside, especially, you know, in the mountains and nature and in the forests, is very much a creative outlet. And I'm curious if, you know, you've kind of moved that, if it is a creative outlet in some sense, it's you. And if it isn't, then, you know, different perspective, obviously. But, you know, is music kind of what you've been focusing on more as like a creative kind of thought, you know, built? Because I guess for me, what I'm saying is like when I go out for a run, it allows me to think and to kind of work through and examine, you know, various aspects of my life. Is that what creating music has kind of been doing for you recently in the years that you've been focusing on it? Because I know that is a big focus of your life with what you do now. Is that, again, am I totally off base here in thinking that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I make a lot of music, and a lot of times while I'm on like a run, I hear something or I'm thinking to myself and I come up with an idea and I'm like, oh, I want to put that in a song when I get back. And running kind of helps me come up with ideas as well for my music.
So, okay. So it's like like a circle of,
yeah,
like feeding into each other, I guess mm-hmm. is the way to put it. Right. Okay. So I have kind of, I call them three questions that I like to finish the show off with, kind of summing up what we're talking about. So there's three like quick little questions, but I think they're important, you know. So the first is pretty simple, but it always seems to stump some of my guests, is who motivates you? And that can come in, you know, it doesn't have to be sport. It can come in any form. I'm just curious who you look at for, you know, guidance or inspiration, whether that's in person or somebody, you know, in the community or somebody online, you know, whatever form that may come in.
I'd say obviously my dad and my mom, they're a big part. I mean, my mom used to do a lot of running. She still does. Hike Madonna Mountain a lot, things like that. Obviously my dad was the one who got into the trips with me. So he's been a big, like, motivator throughout my hiking career, or like my backpacking, trekking career. And both my parents, I guess, have been really big motivators throughout my my running career.
Yeah, I agree with Luke. My parents, because they, even if I don't 100% want to do something, they usually tell me to do it anyways, because they know it'll help me in the long run. And some days I do want to do that, and they inspire me and Luke. And like he said, my dad was the one who originally got us into running, and we kind of got into backpacking together. And yeah, he's been a real inspiration in my running and hiking career.
Right. So I don't know if you guys are too much into books, but I do always ask my guests, and I'm curious if you got what you guys think on this, what your favorite books are, you know, if there are a few that stand out in your mind of ones that have been very impactful to you. So if that does play a role in your life, I'm definitely interested in what you have to say. And they don't have to be related to sport or outdoors or running or anything. I'm across the spectrum, like I said, I'm interested.
Me, not as much. I used to read a lot, but I've just been, once I got into high school, more busy with schoolwork and more assigned reading, and then obviously my music, and then also running. So I don't really have a lot of extra time. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time with my girlfriend too, so I don't really have a lot of extra time to do like reading or anything. So that question's probably better aimed more towards Luke.
Yeah, I do quite a bit of reading, but I mean, I'm kind of drawing a blank. There's no books that can really, really come to mind right now. I mean, I can think about it and maybe come back with that one.
So the last question is, I'm curious, you know, if you do any meditation or mindfulness practices or anything in that sense, you know, yoga or anything, or if running is that for you, you know, in any form that this idea of, you know, practicing, being present and coming back to the moment, of in what form, if any, that plays a role in your life?
Running is definitely that for me, but even more than running, probably hiking, because on a lot of the trips that we go on, you know, sometimes on a day of hiking on like the TRT, my dad and I would be talking a lot, having a good time, and then one day we just silent, we just don't really talk, and I just put my earbuds in and kind of think while I'm walking, and we just kind of stay silent.
Yeah, I mean, I think running is kind of that meditation for me, because on hiking trips, I like to talk a lot until we get to about 14,000 feet. I start quieting down, but then I'm kind of in the zone. I think running, though, is more of one of those meditation type things, because when I'm running alone, I think about stuff. If it's about a YouTube video or a video game or a book or climbing a certain route or whatever it may be, I'm thinking, and it kind of brings me in centered with myself.
Awesome.
Yeah, and last year, actually, my history teacher, we would meditate in class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we would do like a meditation thing, a guided meditation.
Like every day?
Once a week.
Oh, and okay. I thought that's really still cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was pretty nice, and I do that sometimes on my own.
And what was like the acceptance level, I guess, of students, like of your classmates? Were they like against it, or thought
it was think weird? I think a lot of students were kind of just weirded out at first, because there's a dude with an Australian voice like guiding it. I think they're kind of just weirded out at first, but everyone got used to it pretty quick after a couple of weeks, and it was really nice, because we usually had tests on Thursdays, so it kind of helped as a stress reliever.
And how long would they go for usually, do you think?
Like 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow. I've heard that idea be thrown around a lot in the meditation world of like, this should be done, but I don't think I've ever heard of a story where it's actually been implemented.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show today, guys. I had a good chat, kind of, like I said, exploring a different aspect of the world and of the guests that I have on than I usually do. So I hope you enjoyed it, too. And
yeah, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was
fun. Yeah, definitely. And that was that, episode 165 of the Touching the Trail podcast with Luke and Dylan Reese. If you want to find out more about what Touching the Trail is up to, you can go to touchingthetrail.com and read the writings, read the resources about meditation and food and the recommended readings. You can sign up for the Touching the Trail Weekly, the newsletter that I send out every weekend, where you will get on upon signing up a free vegan recipe ebook, and every week you will get a book recommendation, a spiritual quote breakdown, and a weekly challenge. You can also follow us on social media at Touching the Trail on Instagram, at Touch the Trail on Twitter, and the Touching the Trail page on Facebook. And if you ever have any questions or comments or just want to talk, feel free to reach out to me via the contact page on the website. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show and also share it out with your friends and spread the word. Build the tribe. And of course, as always, if you're enjoying the show every week, make sure to leave a review and let me know that you're out there and that you're listening. And if you want to help support this show, you can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. And as I've said many times before, Touching the Trail is built and based in the Buddhist concept of dana, of generosity, of giving. And so this tribe, this community cannot continue to grow without your help. And as a college student, I deeply want to make this a sustainable endeavor. So if all of you listening today just go and donate $1, even on a recurring basis, that will be greatly appreciated. You can also go to targetreleasedrecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak. Now, these are functional, affordable, unique, and handmade deep tissue massage tools. And all those links are in the show notes as always. Now, going forward this week, I just want to have you take away from today's episode that age is not a barometer for what you can or cannot do. That just because you may be young and just because you may be old does not mean that you are limited or restricted in what you can accomplish. And I think people like Dylan and Luke have shown that you can do many incredible things at a young age, and you can continue to do many incredible things into old age. And whatever age that might be that you're at, just remember that you can always work to better yourself. So going forward this week, remember to go far, go further, and I will see you all next week on the Touching the Trail podcast. The Touching the Trail podcast.